It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. A snowy week in Sault Ste. Marie, and that's appropriate. Bemidji State's coming to town on Friday night, two games against the Lakers. And Damon, for one thing, it'll be great to be home.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while, you know, just the way the travel's lined up. You know, some of these biggest, longest trips of the year have all taken place in the last, 4 weeks or so. And so it does feel like it's been a little bit of a while. So a lot of excitement, from the team to be home, to be settled in. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, a Bemidji team that comes in, very structured, very well coached, and very competitive team, a good hockey team. And so, you know, it'll be a great weekend of hockey, as it always is in the WCHA. But, you know, a lot of excitement from our end to be back in Taffy Able for what seems like a long time. But, you know, I know in reality it wasn't all that long ago. I think just with all the travel, it feels like we haven't been home a whole lot.
Yeah, we just played Huntsville 2 weeks ago this Friday night and Saturday night, and that was a tough series against a very feisty team. We're going to have a similar one here, a little bit bigger physically team, the Bemidji State Beavers. But you just mentioned they're well coached. Tom Ceratori's been around for a long time. He'll make adjustments during the game if he has to, and he relies on goaltending. He's got a really good sophomore goaltender right now. He's actually led in scoring by a defenseman, but they've got a pretty tough team, and they're good defensively.
Yeah, they are. You know, and you mentioned Driscoll's coming off goalie of the week honors in the WCHA, so there's some confidence there. They had the rookie of the week in Ross Armour as well, so you know they're feeling good. It was a big weekend for them. They had Hockey Day in Minnesota, the outdoor game Friday. Beat Michigan Tech and swept on the weekend. So they're a confident group. You know, they've been a real good second half team traditionally, and again this year they're showing that as well. You mentioned their leading score or their leading point getter is Beaudry on the back end there. Then a group of forwards around the 17 point mark. And so you know what, it's a different look, a different challenge. Than Mankato is and some other teams are, but a real structured team. They don't beat themselves. You know, they really play well within their structure, within their system. You know, they're quick to adjust, do some things once the game gets rolling as well. So I think it'll be a real battle there. We talked Tuesday night at Antlers about the retention level of our team as we've gone in and presented, different opponents and strengths and weaknesses of the things they're doing. Our team has done a really good job of not only retaining the knowledge of what's been shown, but then putting it into application in the game. And so that'll be key once again. You know, there's some areas that we think, that we can take advantage of some things they do and try to counter, I guess might be a better way to put that. If our guys can retain and put that into practice, I think we have a chance to have some success against those areas.
You know, I was really impressed at Minnesota State. That's definitely the high water mark in the WCHA, that team. They're very good. They're very well coached. They're very fast. I'm always impressed by what great physical condition they're in. They can go full speed the whole 60 minutes every night and have no problem with it. We got a little bit weary there maybe because of all the things that have caught up to us, but I thought we played a really smart game. We did a great job getting sticks in lanes, breaking up plays, keeping them from threatening. I don't think they had a shot on goal in the last couple of minutes of the game, even when they pulled their goaltender, and we just did a good job defensively.
We did really, really impressive effort that way. It was great to see. And you mentioned how they can just keep rolling at you because they have tremendous depth. You know, their whole lineup can skate. Their whole lineup has skill. They got size in their decor that make it tough. But they don't look like fatigue sets in because they roll. And I was really pleased even Saturday night when we shifted some lines around. We ended up having a line with Pete Viette, who's a freshman, centered by Hampus Eriksson, the sophomore, and then Melvin Carlson, another freshman on the right wing. That was one of our lines, and we rolled four lines all night long. You know, got a great effort from those guys. You're a little bit worried on the road against one of the best teams in the country, matching up two freshmen and a sophomore, or allowing them to match up whoever they want. But they were great. Obviously got the game-winning goal. Brendan McKay's line with Chase Gamlin and Brian Basilico have continued to play outstanding, and Brendan got a ton of ice time with the way he was playing. Really good on faceoffs as well. And then our top two lines continue to play well. So good team effort. We rolled lines, as we said. And as you said, Bill, we showed the guys on Tuesday after a Monday day off that the last 7.5 or 8 minutes of that game, we gave up one shot on goal. You know, they had the goalie pulled, total desperation mode to try to tie it up. And we gave up one shot on goal on the 6-on-5. So just a tremendous effort defensively. And post game, I think it was Gage Terrell kind of mentioned, like, hey, that's what it's going to be. You know, we're essentially in playoff hockey mode here with just a couple of weeks left and everything's so tight. You know, we've got to be great defensively in that playoff kind of mode, and we did a great job of it. If we have that mindset, you know, I really like our team down the stretch if we can play that way.
Big weekend, too, for your top guys. Diego gets his 17th goal of the season. Kuglietta and Ellis are both Hobey Baker candidates. First time in Laker hockey history, we've had two players nominated for the Hobey Baker, and I realize they've expanded the candidacy a little bit since the days when Mark Vermette was a strong candidate, for instance, but it's been since 1996 that the Lakers have had a Hobey Baker candidate, and that year was Keith Aldridge. And now we've got two guys nominated for that prestigious award. And, hey, whether they win it or not, they've had great seasons. Diego has 17 goals now. I think Anthony Nellis has 11 or 12. And they've just been outstanding. Nellis, the first half of the season, Diego all season long.
Yeah, I know. You know, Anthony, the first half was just tremendous, you know. And you know, some off-ice things have caught up with Anthony in terms of, you know, looking at next year and agents, advisors, things like that. And we're kind of through that. We put a timeline in place to make some of those decisions in terms of you know, some of those areas that can be distractions. So we'd like to get him back going. He hasn't played poorly, but the production has dropped off a little bit, and part of that, he's getting a ton of attention from the other team. You know, I think with Diego now going and those guys on separate lines, teams are going to have to pick a little bit who they're going to try to match up and shut down. But Anthony, early on in particular, again, still playing well, but was just at a different level. And you know, Diego, again, consistent all year long, in the last couple of weeks, just different level. So he's second in the country in goals scored. I think Johnny Walker's still at 18 there at Arizona State, but Diego's second in the country in goals scored. One of the top faceoff guys, used in all situations. So very, very well-deserved recognition for these two outstanding young men, and you know, having great senior seasons, as you want your seniors to do. Again, we have talked at some point recently that our locker room doesn't care who gets the credit. It's been a really unselfish group. You know, we've had a ton of you know, guys rewarded and honored with Player of the Week from the league and all GLI team and you know, MVPs of the GLI. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Those things keep rolling in. And, you know, our guys are just excited to win hockey games, and they don't care who steps up or who gets the press clippings. And it's been really, you know, great to see them, you know, the love they have for each other and for the team this year. So we're proud of the way they've approached this season, and great recognition for those two guys, as you mentioned.
You know, a minute ago, you talked about switching up some lines in that second game against Minnesota State. That's always a dangerous thing when you start fooling around with personnel during a game against a really good team, but I thought it worked perfectly as well. You put a couple of freshmen with a sophomore centerman. They did a great job, and that let you put Nellis with Terrell on that right side. And you know, I don't know how you figure that stuff out during a game, or whether you discuss that with your assistants, but all of a sudden you come up with some changes there, and they work pretty well for Lake Superior. So, you know, things are going well for us right now.
Well, it's been challenging this year to do that. And you know, not, unlike other years, again, our depth, you know, we haven't had this depth. You know, we've got guys that we want to try and get in the lineup, and the way guys are playing, you know, you don't have the opportunity to make that change. So it's a real credit to the guys playing, you know, the guys knocking on the door as well. But, you know, that's part of what we tell guys, you know, don't allow yourself to get in the conversation where we're talking about taking you out and, you know, sending a message, or, you know, just that your play's slipping and we're going to get somebody else in. So it's a real credit to the lineup. Early on, we had those loaded up couple lines with our upperclassmen, and then we were getting into some more road games, and we went away from it to have a little bit more balance. You know, now we're back to loaded up a little bit more, and you know, if Pete Hampus and Melvin can play that way, we have no problem playing that way. They were tremendous in a beautiful game-winning goal by Pete, second game-winning goal of the year, and you know, we like it. So it's discussed, you know, often, and that's Monday through Tuesday, and then you know, going into that game Saturday, we had a pretty good idea of you know, what those line changes would look like, and rolled to it pretty quickly. You know, maybe didn't want to tip off the other team so much with line charts and things like that, and you know, let them adjust and scramble on their own bench to get matchups. But we talk about it all the time, and again, ultimately guys have to go out and execute and be ready for their chance. And it was great to see, you know, everybody ready, but then a guy like Pete Viette, assisted from Melvin Carlson, assisted from Steven Ruggiero on the game-winning goal. So a real credit to that locker room once again.
Good goaltending again, too. Merrick Smittens, a runner-up for goaltender of the week, probably because he played only the one game. They kind of look at stuff like that. And Driscoll played two games for Bemidji. He was the goaltender of the week. But Nick played well on Friday night. The goaltending has not been an issue for this team this year.
Well, we've talked plenty early in the season about how, you know, I feel like it's really important that one of our assistant coaches has a goalie background. You know, they do way more than just goaltending, and that's Zach's situation this year. He's doing contributing in a lot of different ways and doing a really good job, and certainly that's reflected in the goaltending work as well. You know, the time he spends with those guys at the rink, away from the rink, you know, helping them build their game on the ice and off the ice is really paying dividends. So we have two guys who can play, two guys who are legitimate number ones in the NCAA. You know, Nick played well Friday night. He was victimized by a 5-on-3 goal, two breakaways, and really no chance, you know, for Nick on that night. And so the decision to go with Marix was not based on Nick's game on Friday night. It was, you know, some of this travel and fatigue setting in. So a chance to play Marix as well. But, you know, it's a great position to be in, to know that either guy can go at any given time. And I think, you know, we haven't notified our guys yet, but I guess by the time this airs, they'll know. But you know, we'll continue, and you know, most likely to have our seniors continue to lead us in a lot of ways, including
Alrighty.
Nick.
You're listening to Laker Hockey Talk this morning. We're on ESPN 1400. We're going to take a break in the show here from our sponsors, and Damon Witten and I'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back, Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Damon Witten, Bill Crawford talking our favorite subject, and the Lakers are taking on Bemidji State this weekend. We haven't mentioned any of the special things going on this weekend yet, Damon. We'll get into that now. We've got a whiteout against domestic violence on Friday night. The first 1,000 fans to come through the door are going to get a free t-shirt, which is kind of nice. It's going to be marked up for domestic violence night, and we're hoping everybody will wear white. So come to the rink this weekend on Friday night at least wearing white, so we can have a white out there. That's a very important thing in this community.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the domestic violence continues to be a big issue on college campuses in our community and across our nation. So we're proud partners with the Diane Pepler Center on the white out night, and you know, we certainly want to see a great turnout, and you know, turn to Able White for the night. And so we're looking forward to that event as well. A couple other promotions you want to hit as well, Bill?
Well, there's one in particular, and it's over now. That was the 2-for-1 ticket sale that was online only. And you got to watch the Laker website all the time, fans, because there are special things there that are only offered on that website. And they had a 2-for-1 ticket sale that went on until midnight on Tuesday night. A lot of people took advantage of it, too. But you got to watch there all the time, because they try to sneak these things out to see how many people are looking at the website. I think it's great marketing myself.
Yeah.
I totally agree with it.
Yeah, they like those flash sales. And again, just, you know, I think some in our community maybe aren't as up to date on some of the social media. So, you know, definitely spread the word, and a chance to come at a great rate. We're also going to allow, with federal government ID, the furloughed workers, be two tickets for free on Friday night only as well. So if you come with your government ID, you'll have two tickets there, and our way just to try to help them out with a little distraction there as they're waiting for their paychecks and our government to get back to work. So definitely thinking about them, and you know, want to welcome everybody out this weekend that you know, we can welcome to our game and help them out a little bit with a little bit of distraction.
Yeah, we do have a tailgater on Saturday night as well over at Alumni House. You do not have to be a member of the Alumni Association at Lake Superior State to go. It costs you $5 if you're not a member. It's free if you are. But, you know, you just go over there. They've got lots of food, and they provide soft drinks, etc. And they actually tell you that if you want an adult beverage or two, you can bring your own, and you can do that as well. So it's a pretty friendly atmosphere. It's 5:30 on Saturday. It's a pregame thing. And tailgaters are a big deal in all sports, a little bit tougher in hockey because it's pretty nasty out weather-wise right now. But you go inside Alumni House, it's nice and warm in there, and you can get out of there in plenty of time to come to the game on Saturday night.
Yeah, occasionally I get a chance to get over there depending on the timing and you know what we have going on. So I'll try my best to get there, but a good chance to go mingle with fans. And I'm not sure if our Sioux hockey alumni will get over there for the nap, but we got about 18 guys coming over to catch the game Friday night as well. And they'll be recognized a little bit, a couple different times, and some great names from our past, and we're excited to have them over as well and welcome them back. And the last thing I want to kind of mention before we move on to the next segment is just Check/Survive, our former Pink in the Rink event. It will be coming up in a couple of weeks, and you can pre-order apparel up until January 27th. So you need to, again, get on the Twitter or social media feeds, Facebook, and go to the Check/Survive websites and get your pre-orders in. That's the only way to guarantee sizing and the, if you want the hockey lace hoodie or whatever type of apparel you want, the only way to guarantee it is if you pre-order. So they'll be either at War Memorial a couple more times here and on campus, but also on the social media pages as well. So please get those orders in and reach out if you want to help in any other ways.
Yeah, Check/Survive. Who benefits from that, Damon? I think they've expanded who gets benefited by the funds that are raised.
Yeah, we get asked that quite a bit, and that was really the main driving reason to convert from Pink in the Rink to Check/Survive. The way the committee was formed, or the 501(c) was formed, was very women's health driven and only women's health. So sometimes it was hard to allocate with the tremendous support our community is giving and raised, a great amount of money. Check/Survive can now help, maybe not just women's initiatives. It's still going to have a major focus on women's health and women's initiatives. But some years it's hard to allocate all the funds because it was a pretty narrow description of what they could give out to. So it's expanded a little bit. This year is Children's Cancer Awareness. And, once the event runs, there'll be a chance to put grants in to get the allocation of the dollars raised. Children's Awareness, and there'll be, some more stuff coming out in apparel, jerseys, things like that. So a great event, and always been amazed, that year one, what that event meant to our community. So we appreciate the support. And again, a lot of different ways to help, starting with apparel, but other ways to reach out. And you can track us down at the Check/Survive committee if you want to help in other ways.
Yeah, Pink in the Rink started years ago in the early 2000s. It was started by Stan and Ann Jakaitis, the parents of Jeff Jakaitis, who was a tremendous goaltender at Lake Superior State, who's gone on to play pro hockey. And that's how it all got rolling. They didn't originate it necessarily, but they picked up an idea they had heard about otherwise and in other places and brought it to Sault Ste. Marie. It's always been a big success and very popular since they got it started. We've got Bemidji State coming in this weekend. They're going to be a tough test. Everybody's a tough test. Is there an easy team to beat in this league?
Well, there's not. I mean, you can look at the couple teams down at the bottom and that have not had good years, and in a couple of those where there's instability of coaching changes, and you go back to the Alaska situation a couple of years ago. So they're not having good years, but it doesn't mean you can just show up. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. We were about to tape this, got off the phone with Flow Hockey, and they're doing an article about the league and the strength of the league this year and the pairwise, and trying to hopefully get 2-3 teams in the tournament. And it doesn't matter where you're at. There's parity across the board, no matter what league you're in or where you're standing at, and you have to be prepared to play. And that to me has really been one of the I don't know about most surprising, but just our group, our leaders, and our locker room has done such a great job of being prepared to play every night. And I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot here speaking about that, but our guys have been really impressive with their approach to the game on a daily basis, and a lot of faith in that group that they're ready to play once again this weekend. I feel like we're recovered from the travel for the first time. I think guys, a little bit lingering colds, a couple things like that everybody's going through, but that travel, the worst part is behind us. Kind of recovered from Alaska, got Monday off this week to recover from Mankato, and I truly believe our best hockey's in front of us, and we want to make sure Friday night's a great start to that.
Well, we've got a great schedule to finish out with, too. We play at home here this weekend, then we go to Ferris State next week, then we're off a weekend, and we haven't really talked about that, but an off weekend in there. Other teams were near you in the standings can pick up points and move ahead of you. Right now, the Lakers are alone in fourth place, technically tied with Tech, but the Lakers own the tiebreaker there. So you've got fourth place at this point, but you got to keep winning. And you got Ferris State at home to end the season. And in between there, you've got a home series with Michigan Tech, which will be really tough. And then you got a really tough series over at Northern Michigan. So, but the schedule is good in the travel end of it. You're going to go to Ferris, 4-hour trip there, 3-hour trip to Northern Michigan. The long stuff's done.
Yeah, thank goodness. I mean, like I said, that was a tough grind. And you talked about a Tuesday night in that four-week period, two trips to Alaska, two different trips to Detroit for the GLI and the national program. So we were road warriors. And, you know, we also talked about in our last, we break our season down into 10-game segments. We're in the third segment of that. We're 6-1-1 in this 10-game segment. So it's been a tremendous little stretch there. You know, kind of mentioned again Tuesday night, if you would have told me we'd go 6-1-1 with trips, you know, a couple trips to Alaska at Mankato, GLI. I'm not sure I would have believed you at the time, even though, you know, we liked this team and knew we had a chance to be really good. And that's tremendous to be 6-1-1. And, you know, that when we address the guys Tuesday, you know, we want to get to 7-1-1 on Friday night. That's the singular goal. Have a great 20 minutes. You know, we're back at home. Get the fans involved. You know, get Bemidji. Don't give them anything to get excited about or comfortable in our building. And, you know, we got to get to 7-1-1 in this segment come Friday night.
Big crowd expected, too. I think we will have a good crowd on Friday night. And probably Saturday's been the better night for us for crowds, although we haven't played as well at home on Saturday. And, you know, you kind of wonder about that. This team's a good team. There is no way that we should be splitting series and have a worse record at home than we do on the road. This is the best team in the country on the road, 12-2. And at home, we're not nearly that good. And I don't know what that's all about, but you'd think we'd do better at home.
Yeah, well, people, you know, certainly ask and have their questions, and I think it's a great question. Obviously, if we had the answer, we'd have it turned around, and certainly proud of being the best road record in the country. That's not easy to do, especially the places we've traveled to and the miles put together, things like that. You know, and again, I don't think we've been bad at home. You know, I wouldn't change the Michigan effort, the Mankato Saturday night in particular. I thought Northern Michigan Saturday night, we were really good, and I think it was a 2-1 final with Tolvin and making, you know, quite a few saves and really had an impact. And, you know, I thought the Fairbanks weekend was one weekend where, you know, that was our most average play, and I want to give them credit. I thought they came in and played well and played hard. You know, that was probably the one weekend we look at and say, you know, we weren't at our best that weekend. You know, even Huntsville Saturday night, you know, I thought we dominated big stretches. We had to kill more than on the power play. But, you know, you got to win games, and we want to win at home. And so, you know, we're not going to dwell on that. We got to be a little bit better, and we can't let goalies come in and steal games. You know, that's a little bit what's happened on Saturday nights, but you can't give them that opportunity. You know, that means we got to be better around the net, a little bit like Mike Hastings talked about on Saturday after we beat them. They didn't get to the net enough. They were too perimeter. Well, you know, I think that was because we were so good and so heavy away from it. But we've seen that a little bit at home as well, where you maybe want to put on a little bit of a show and have this high skill game. You know, it's a simple game. It's a competitive game, and you've got to get there and not allow goaltenders to track pucks.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of that when fans react negatively after their team loses. The Minnesota State fans on the social media, at least, were just complaining that the Lakers were getting away with interference and holding and clutching and grabbing. I thought it was 25 years ago there when I was reading this stuff, but the fact is that when you lose, you always try to blame your own players for something they didn't do. You don't give credit to the other team for things they did well, and when Alaska did well against us here, they deserved the credit for that. And when we did a good job at Minnesota State, I think defensively we were really sound. You just mentioned one shot in the last 4 minutes of the game for a very good team. That means the Lakers did something right defensively.
Yeah, no question. You know, I think that is the nature of it a little bit. You look for some different things, and you know, there's certainly a call or two each way. And you know, that game should have been over with Braden Gelsinger, you know, hauled down with an empty netter. You mentioned Chase Gamlin on Tuesday night, went in the boards really dangerously. I thought it was an easy 5-minute major call. Doesn't get called at all. So there's both sides of it. Back and forth, but you know, along with us showing the last 7 minutes, we didn't watch a strip of the team. It was just looping in the locker room. That's a long film segment. We always try to do our things about 19 clips max in under 2 minutes. So you know, we just kind of let it loop, along with about 35 clips where we had we call them elite sticks. You know, tremendous stick habits, going stick on puck, sticks in passing lanes, and we were just really disruptive. And one of the comments Max Humans made was, you know, we said, hey, you guys were watching that. Coaches weren't in the room. What stood out? Max said, well, they couldn't get in our zone. And you mentioned Tuesday night, Brendan McKay a couple times at the offensive blue line, not a allowing zone entry, or our defensive blue line, sorry. You know, we did a really good job defending, you know, and Friday night we didn't. They came up with speed. They had odd man rushes. Saturday night was the opposite. We really managed pucks well. We really got into our structure and made them come through layers, and I thought just a tremendous defensive effort.
It was. It was a great win for the Lakers, 1-0 on Saturday night, and that springboards them into this weekend. Damon, we're out of time here this morning, but Bemidji State will be a formidable opponent, and it all starts at 7 o'clock on Friday night at Able Arena.
Well, great coming in talking Laker hockey. We hope to see everybody out there tomorrow night. Wear white for the whiteout, and go Lakers.
All righty. That's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.